Well, good morning to you all. It's good to see each one here and those who are watching on YouTube or Zoom, and pray the Lord will bless our time together as we look into His Word. And certainly Clem and Lauren and the families and friends had a beautiful, beautiful day for a wedding in late September, and we're so happy for them and pray the Lord will just bless. Well, today is our annual meeting, and these things are sometimes, well, they are necessary, but it's also a good time, too, to review the year that has passed and also to look forward to the coming year. We can see the things that God has accomplished in our midst, and we can pray for those things which are ahead that we trust He will bless. I can remember in Montreal, I worked for Canadian Laboratory Supplies, CanLab, and every year we would have inventory. And even though I was in sales, I had to go into the back and go through boxes, and somebody else was there, and I would go through and I'd say, there's 12 of this, and they would mark the number in, and we would do this. It was tedious, it was long, it was boring, but it was necessary. Of course, this is before the advent of computers and all of this sort of thing. So we did it by hand. Well, Paul, in his epistle to the Philippians, he is doing a little bit of inventory too. And he's looking back over the past, and he considers himself as Paul the accountant. And then he considers himself as Paul the athlete. And then he looks at himself and he sees himself as Paul the optometrist. And when we look at this, we begin to see that he looks back over his life and he looks forward to that which is going to happen. So I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll begin to read in verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, Philippians 3 and 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Now here we see that Paul is the accountant. And as we look, we see some of the things that were lost to him or that he thought was profit, and they became nothing but loss. And he begins to balance the book of his life. And notice what he says. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet I indeed also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, growing into conformity with His death, or being conformed to His death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection or obtain to the resurrection from the dead. And here is Paul as he is reflecting back on his past life. And you notice he speaks of his past heritage. And what was that heritage? Well, as he looked at himself, he saw that he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a stock of Israel. He had been circumcised as a baby at 8 days old. Concerning zeal, he was persecuting the church. And you remember that he was on the way to Damascus, as he's on his way to Damascus, he had letters in his pocket to put to death the believers. And that great light shone from heaven and spoke to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And so God, by his Spirit, awakened that man. So he looks back at his past heritage. He sees his position as a Pharisee. He had pride in persecuting the church of God. And he was self-righteous in his pride. He was boasting of his heritage. But you notice the change in verse 7. He's balancing the books of his life as the accountant. He's taking inventory. And he says what things were gain, and really that word could be in the plural in verse 7. What things were gains to me, these I have counted loss, singular, for Christ. You see, there was a great change. This man lost his religion. He lost his reputation. But notice he gains so much more. He says, I count all things lost, what? For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, as garbage, that I may gain Christ. He gained far more. The priceless privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as Lord. You remember the Lord Jesus could say in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" And we might have all the possessions of this world. We might have fancy homes and cars and boats and cottages, and we might travel the world and all of these things. But in light of eternity, they're really meaningless, aren't they? When we die, whose are they going to belong to? There will be family disputes saying, "No, the car is mine, the boat is mine, the house is mine," and their arguments will go on. You see, they're wasted things, and it's a wasted life. And Paul had that, but he gained so much more, the priceless privilege of knowing the Lord Jesus as truly the Lord of his life. But look at Paul, the athlete, in verse number 12. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." He hadn't reached the goal as such. He was still pressing on. He says, "I press on that I may lay hold of that which for which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or that I have obtained it. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And you notice here he is, the athlete. In verse number 12, he says, "But I press on." And then in verse number 14, "I press toward the goal, to the finishing line. I see it in the distance. I want to run my race well." And in Corinthians, he speaks about beating his body and keeping it in subjection for Christ. And so Paul is the athlete. "I press toward the goal." He wanted that upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so he was pressing and striving throughout his life. As a believer, was it easy? You remember that he spoke, he says, he could say, "Whom I have suffered the loss of all things." You remember how he suffered the loss of all things? Three times he was shipwrecked. Five times he received lacerations on his back, 40 stripes minus one. And he knew all of the hardships and disappointments and discouragements of life, but he was pressing on to the goal. J. Christopher Willis, who was a missionary to China for many years. He's now with the Lord. He had on his desk, so he saw it every day when he sat there to study. It said, "Down to the goal I press." Giving his life for the Lord in China. Of course, this would have been, I'm not sure if he had to leave China, if he was there after 1949 when Mao Zedong came to rule that dictatorship. And the Church of God is being greatly persecuted today in China. Over 100 million believers, crosses are being removed. They are presently rewriting the Bible to make it the standard Bible for the country of China. It'll be totally perverted. And the believers are suffering so much for the sake of Christ. But down to the goal they press. And down to the goal we press. There ought to be that deep determination, not allowing the encumbrances that would distract us and take us away to destroy our life and destroy our faith and to destroy our walk. You remember Paul speaks about that in Hebrews chapter 12, the sin which so easily besets us. The sin which so easily entangles us. Let us lay it all aside. Forget the past. Reach for the goal. Surrender. But notice in verse 17, we see Paul the optometrist. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. And then he adds these words, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait. The authorized says, we eagerly look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. And you notice what he says in verse 20? We also eagerly wait. We also eagerly look. You see, Paul was considering something. He was looking at the politics of the situation. And he was seeing that he was more than a citizen of Rome. He was a citizen of heaven. And you notice the word that he says in verse number 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. And it's good to make note of this because the word citizenship is literally the Greek word politouma, which means politics. For our politics is in heaven. We get upset with the government. We get upset with the stress of the world and what we're seeing around us. And I get upset with it and it bugs me at times and so on. But my politics is in heaven. This world is one day going to be consumed. And one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you see, Philippi, to whom he was writing to these believers in the city of Philippi, it was a Roman colony. And as such, it had special privileges and favors. But they were Roman citizens. And it was given to all free-born citizens, even of Philippi. And proudly they could say, my citizenship is in Rome. They were responsible to Rome. They were subject to Rome. They were proud to be called a Roman citizen. They were living for tomorrow because Paul could say, our citizenship is in heaven. We belong to the colony of heaven here on earth, and our home is heaven, and we're soon going to be there. And Paul speaks of that, does he not, in 2 Corinthians 5, of the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. were his personal representatives here, and we are under the authority of heaven. We are citizens of heaven, and we represent Jesus Christ in this dark and sinful world. You notice what he speaks about? He says he's going to transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. What an expectation. What a glorious hope. What a glorious transformation. If you've ever read Great Expectation, we had to read it in high school by Charles Dickens, a great book. But Pip was always wanting to be an English country gentleman with all the niceties and of life, but he had none of those things, and he was trying, and he never made it all the way. But we don't have to try. As a believer in Christ, our politics is in heaven, and one day we're waiting for him, we're looking for him. As an optometrist, we have a 20/20 vision. I can remember I was speaking up at Chapleau. I don't think anyone here will remember Orville. Well, yes, the Vasquez will remember Orville and Grace Gowan. And they were up there, and Orville came up to me and he said, "Did you know that the disciples had 20/20 vision?" I said, "No, Orville." "Yes," he said, "they did. Look at John chapter 20 and verse 20. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." He said, "That's 20/20 vision." And I said, "You're right." And we will have 20/20 vision in heaven when we see him and we are transformed. He's going to take these lowly bodies. These corrupt the King James says, these not lowly, but these vile bodies, these bodies of humiliation, that are subject to sorrow, to pain, to suffering, to death, all the effects of sin. He's going to take them and he's going to transform them that it may be what? Conformed, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body. I forget who it was that said he was dying. He said, "The next time you see me, brother, I'll be worth looking at." He was an old man, bent over, eyesight bad, hearing not so hot. Everything was failing. He was soon dying. And he said, "The next time you see me, I'll be worth looking at." Well, you know what? That's going to be true of all of us. All of the frailties and the problems of life will be gone. We'll be like him. And notice how it's going to happen in verse number 21. Who will transform, fashion it anew, totally remake it. It's not only the outward appearance, it's the whole inward appearance, the total individual. Just like the grub you see walking around, that little caterpillar, you may step on it and squish it, but it climbs up into a tree, goes into the cocoon, and eventually it emerges as that glorious butterfly. And you look at the lovely monarch, the American butterfly that is yellow with the black stripes on it. They're absolutely glorious, but they were just a grub at one time. Just in a cocoon for a period of time, finally struggling and emerging, totally transformed. And that's what's going to be with you and me when we get home to heaven. So we look back over our lives, and you notice he says it's according to the energy of his being able. In verse number 21, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the energy of his being able. He's able to do it. And so as we look back over our lives, and as we even as an assembly look back over our year and to the year that lies ahead, we don't know with all the things that are happening, but he knows. Thank God we have a hope. Thank God we have a future. And I want to say that, young people, be the accountant. Balance your life. Look over what you're doing and the goals you've set. There's only one real goal, and that is in your life to glorify Christ. And there's only one real aim for you, is to finish your life well. Paul could say that. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? You're looking forward to the coming of the Lord? It's a hope that we have in a dark world. We don't really know how, but we do know who, don't we? And it's the Lord Jesus. Tetelestai. He finished the work. He's going to finish the work. And one day we will be with him, and one day we will be like him throughout all of eternity. Let's just commit this word to the Lord, shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the privilege of being here, for the opportunity of sharing, and we would ask for your blessing on the word to each one of our hearts. And as we would consider the annual meeting that we have, and look and consider the things that have happened, the things that lie before, that, Lord, you would give us wisdom and grace and understanding and patience. And, Lord, we just commit this time into your presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.